everyone. Thank you for joining us for this series of talks on New Life with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello. And we're inviting you to join us to this talk today. We're trying to learn from the Rav Lightman how we can advance the Israeli society in which we're living today to a better place so that each of our personal trouble that is going in and becoming stronger and stronger every day to finish the month properly, to feel secure, to have some what I want to give to my children, to satisfy their basic needs, just things that each and every one of us knows, so that I'll be able to do it tomorrow as well, just like I did it today. And the situation in the country is not becoming better, and the whole world is entering a situation that's not so good. So the future is not looking so good, and we want to know from the Rav Lightman, what do you have to offer, and how an approach of the right relationships between people can be a key to handling these troubles that are getting worse. So, Rav Lightman, in our last talk, you analyzed the situation in which we find ourselves today. The development of our ego, of people's egos, from a state in which it's a good engine that pushes us forward to prosperity, to flourishing, and to developing abilities that make life easier for each and every one of us, to a mutated place where our ego becomes like a cancer that swallows up everybody and we don't see each other, and then it brings us to this bad state in which we find ourselves in. So how can we move forward from here? We need to see our human society, or the people, as one system, like in a body, in which each part, all of its systems, need to work in mutual balance, in the right kind of connection, interconnection, and for each and every one to understand that the good of the nation and his own private good are dependent on each other. And so in all the programs and all the deeds, everything we manufacture, everything we do, we have to do them in the way that we are taking care of the general public, and within that, we take care of each and every individual as an integral part of this public. And truly, we see that people, they always want to show themselves as ones who act for the benefit of all. And this is true for each culture and in every country. Here, it's even more prominent because the people feel how we are interdependent and how we are closed off from all sides. So it turns out that we need to awaken in us this national love, this attitude, this approach of all Israel, our friends, all Israel as one family, this whole attitude that always existed also in the establishment of the nation. And with this advocacy, we need to go out to the public. Because even though it once existed and now it doesn't, we see that our development is similar. It's like the same development of the illness that's called cancer. It brings us to a place that we do this to ourselves, that this individualistic development where I do not take everybody's good into consideration, it brings us to destruction in which each and every one doesn't enjoy things anymore. It is destroyed itself. So those tycoons, those who have so much money and want to enjoy and receive joy at the expense of others are themselves harmed at the end of the day. So we've reached such a development in all of humanity in general that we see that this crisis is a global crisis, and the entire human society is as one body, which now is feeling this great illness where all of its systems have gone out of balance and are not mutually connected. They are not in mutual relationships, and therefore we can't run this system. We cannot govern it. And what we now need is to develop this method of advocacy, this correct method, and explain why it's good, why it will bring us to balance, why, if we begin to relate this way to ourselves and to others and in human society, we will be able to balance ourselves in such a way so that suddenly, though we are not really concerned about prosperity and how our growth will go up a number of percentages, we want to measure percentages of success in social success, in the power of balance of the relationships in society. If that happens, this body will be healthy. So we don't look at the prosperity of each and every part. We look at how, to what extent, everybody is working for the sake of the general health, of the general balance, of the correct relationship and correct connection. The purpose of economics needs to be an integral approach. So this is what we need to bring the people an explanation about. What is social balance? All these people who go out onto the street and then cry out, where is the justice? This is actually what they're crying out for. They're not aware how deep this is. They too, because of their distorted ego, do not care about anything. Each one wants what is important to them. The single moms want one thing, and those who are unemployed want another thing. Each and every part of the people wants only to gain at the expense of others and doesn't care. When we look at the division of the national budget, we see that each sector wants to pull to himself as much as they want and without consideration of anybody, even the educational department, the health department, the security department. Each one wants to protect himself. I don't want to give others. I just want to take my part. I don't care about the others. Why? Because there is no general approach that is for the sake of the country, that is for balance, for equality. If we take as a general purpose of everybody, not the private gain, but bringing the people to this one level of life where each one receives, at least the first stage is where each person needs to receive what he must have in order to exist properly. So let's determine that and begin to move towards that. So then gradually we'll begin to balance society. Of course, this needs to be accompanied by education, by study. What is an integral system? What is a system in which all systems work in balance with each other, with this general consideration, where there is, first of all, a goal. It's analogous, because we need to have this purpose and understand what does it mean to be one people, and how we can perform these actions in each and every place, in each office, governmental office, in our work, everywhere, so that there will be no action, whether big or small, personal or general, personal meaning by any business or general, that doesn't bring some profit to this general connection, in on a level that is equal to all. We have to do this. If we don't, this crisis will bring us there anyway, but it will bring us in a destructive way. Either it destroys us completely, like the cancer that develops in the body, or we will destroy this cancer that is in our body, and which is the ego, the private ego, that wants to eat everyone up only to continue its existence. Therefore, we need to connect with educators and to begin to make all kinds of actions within schools, which is the easiest, from kindergarten and schools, and to teach the children how to be more connected, how to think of society, and not for each one to be proud of himself, like in all those Hollywood films where I saw a few of them. What you see is how each person takes pride in being above others. Everything is in competition and struggle and so much pride, this struggle of power for each person to be better and higher than the other. It's such a destruction for the younger generation. We don't need such examples. On the contrary. And that's in regards to education. We need to develop the same thing, this greater educational system for all those who are not in the school or in kindergartens. For adults. For those who already went through school, it needs to be in the army. There needs to be a system in the different workplaces, in the media. First of all, there needs to be this wide advocacy of what is this illness in which we find ourselves, and its outbreak, and what is the cure. That the balance of society, balancing society, is our purpose, is our goal. That is the state of health that we want to reach. And the medicine can be only through advocacy, explanations, study, and afterwards manifestation, and it needs to happen through all kinds of systems that we take upon ourselves, each and every one that participates in all kinds of systems in order to build as much participation as possible between people in holding up our society in its balanced state. And here it's very important to develop all kinds of forms of relationships, of connections that are voluntary. To appreciate them, to give them force and power. To appreciate each and every one according to how much he participates in this. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, there needs to be a program on the side of the government, not only from the bottom up, as I stated just now, through advocacy and education, but also from the country, from the state, the government. Because finally, these people who are in government need to understand how much they need to limit themselves and already behave differently, not just in their words, that they promise that they work for the benefit of the people. They need to know what it means to work for the benefit of the people. In each and every governmental office, also in governmental expenses and all the directions that they take for them to work together. A government meeting needs to be, how do we reach more balance between all the offices, between all the different branches, between in all of our actions that we're taking through our force and money and all kinds of to all of its different parts. How do we, through these new laws, instill into industry and trade in all kinds of actions that we take in all of our businesses and in companies of all kinds? How do we make it clear to them that there are new laws now? That it's the government that instills them to everything that happens on the ground. So that they won't sell us medicines only in order to make a profit and not for health reasons. And for them not to sell to us things in exaggerated prices, 3 times as much as even in Europe. All kinds of necessary products. And for them not to sell us all kinds of things that we don't really need. 50 different types of cottage cheese or things that we can really settle for less. What do we need all these things for? We need to turn to the attention to things that are needed, healthy, necessary for the existence of each and everyone. Until we don't raise the level of existence of each and every person to this one unified level that is respected and necessary for each and every citizen. We need to do it until we reach such a state. And it needs to come together with education, together with a study. With the participation of each and every citizen, and we need to give power and force and support to building this social balance. We need to activate each and every citizen to do this. And we said that we need to build all kinds of storage houses where people who are lacking all kinds of things will be able to receive these things and to take care of each other mutually. We need to see the entire nation as a family. There's no other way. For all of us to sit around a round table and to talk and discuss what each and every part needs, what each and every one needs. And then we'll see into what percentages we divide our power and our money for the general healing, just like in a body where you need to balance its systems, you need to take care of all the systems for them to work in harmony with each other. And health is determined by the level of balance. We need to work together with the economists, those who can think integrally, which is not simple. Because all of them, because of the way they studied, they operate from out of this egoistic and distorted network, and it's doing it this way. They think only in this way, so we need to bring to them a new way of thinking, a new approach, where we don't have any profits or percentages as our purpose or goal. Our goal is one, to be on one level, even the smallest or the greatest, doesn't matter how much, but firstly, in balance. Of course, we can't reach this in one jump or leap, and of course, we can't get there forcefully like the communists did, and therefore they destroyed all of their industry, and in general, and trade, and all they did was terrorize. We need to do it through advocacy. here, they did it because only a few people had this Marxist theory or idea. Here, we're doing it because of the acknowledgement of the illness, because there's no choice, because we are in this development of the destructive ego that has brought us to a dead end. We need to see these processes that we want to go through in the social balance, not as a regression or taking steps backwards to any socialism that is distorted, that a number of countries used, but as the modern call of the times, that actually we couldn't reach this before. This form of correct division of goods of the general concern, because the ego didn't show us its final and destructive form of development. And you didn't see this in any place. When the Russians began to build socialism, they canceled the ego forcefully. They didn't let it develop. Americans, on the other hand, went with it. So the Russians fell with their approach, and now the Americans the golden path is in the middle. We need to use our ego correctly so that if it is balanced with society, the private ego and the general desire of society, if they are in balance with each other, then in this harmony, this equality, we reach a healthy life. We saw in this last period of the 20th century, we saw both of the sides, these tips. Either you don't let the private ego develop at all, or you let it develop as much as it wants, however it wants in America. And you see that both of them collapsed. But you need to go in the middle, where you don't put only the good of society, as your focus, where you destroy the private ego, and you don't do it like in America, where you let each and everyone grow at the expense of others in society, rather in the middle, so that each of them are equal, both the individual and the general public. And you see that in each place where people go out on the street, what do they cry out? What do they yell? It can be here, it can be in a Russia or in America. What do they say? What do they cry out? Equality. Justice. And it can be only on the condition that the general public and the individual will be on the same level of importance. So we need to develop such an economy in which both the individual and the general public will exist in this economic system on the same level. That is a new approach to economy and trade and business. It's in the middle line, in balance. And if we put this point of balance as our goal, as the summation of each and every calculations of what we need to reach, then we can build a foundation here for business, for states and social foundation that is healthy and new. And it's not because somebody had some idea that they wanted to do this, like in Russia or America. It's because the time demands it. The situation compels us to do so. Otherwise, from all of these movements like Occupy Wall Street and you will see only general destruction. You need to calm everyone down and bring people to agreement only if he feels that it's for everybody's good and everybody's equal. And nobody can make a greater profit on this than others. Because if he does so, then at the end of the day, this boomerang will come back to him through society. As much as he puts his distortion in society, it will come back to him. If we bring this new education, we will discover in this system, this social system that has arisen, we will discover within it its inner power, the power of the public that never happened before. It didn't happen in America because they didn't even develop it. In Russia, it didn't happen because there was no public. It was the government that forcefully put everyone under these as slaves for itself. And only when we do this in through education, through consciousness, awareness, and understanding, using this general program that will be accepted gradually by everyone, not forcefully, but through awareness and consciousness, and also the lack of choice and the correct propaganda, then we will discover inside society the power of unity, of arvut, of mutual guarantee, of mutuality. And this force is one that we've never felt before. It's the force of the healthy body that suddenly feels that all of its systems are balanced. Like a person at the age of 20 that feels himself to be full of strength, full of hope, full of desire and ability. The correct flow that exists inside society and as the force of life that enlivens it, it will give each and every one a different feeling of health. Social health, the feeling of life. This is something that we've never felt before. And through workshops and round tables and all kinds of such actions and connections, small ones, local ones, limited ones, and we can, through them, help a person feel what would happen if we did this in the entire nation. In addition to it, if we build ourselves in this way, the more this integral general force resides in society, we will be in balance with general nature and the still vegetative and animal life and all the systems that we live inside. We'll enter this balance with the ecology, with that wrapping in which we exist. And then we'll feel also from there a response that will be positive. And also the climate and nature's responses, they'll be good for us. Because all in all, we are part of this system of reality. And therefore, by balancing ourselves, we cause this balance of all of the greater reality. I would say that we are now in a time that is very, very special in our history, that by people, that man is now going through the acknowledgement of his evil. He's only now beginning to be in strength and in stamina to change himself, his society, the society that he builds, and his approach to nature, And he's beginning to reach this general balance that will give him new abilities. It's like the healthy body as opposed to the ill body, in which such abilities are suddenly revealed, such possibilities and options that the ill person doesn't even feel, because he feels his illness and he wants to suffer as least as possible. And here we're thinking of how we can prosper as much as possible, but it's prosperity that comes from that same middle line in which we stay all the time. Well, I don't know. I think that the great challenge is to truly begin. Like you said, that there are new laws. How do we reach this balance, these integral laws, where a person can't really understand them. Even if he does for a moment, he immediately returns to his habits. But people who go out to the streets in the cities, they demand it. They demand this balance. So we should go with them. You want balance? Okay, we'll show you what this means. We'll show you what justice means, and equality, and just division of goods. Whatever you're writing on your signs, we'll show you. Let's organize it. Let's see it as a general system. Because what will you gain if you receive an apartment? What will be inside it? What with all the services and everything you need, with everything? We need to reach a general balance of all the systems. That's what you want? Okay, that's great. Let's go. Please. So except for people who are in this habit of using their distorted ego in this intentional way of using it to their own benefit at the expense of others, except for a few of those, we can arrive at this advocacy, this wide advocacy for everyone. And even these people, we can logically explain to them at some point what is truly the call of the times, and to obligate them to participate relatively in all of these things, because otherwise they endanger themselves. This need for balance is clear. This is very true. People understand that they need balance. The challenge that I was talking about is, how will they actually discover these laws? Do we need to bring these integral laws? How will they know which laws to use? Because first of all, it's taking care of our basic life. Maybe that's the first stage. Are there any kinds of principles of integral laws that if a person adopts to himself, he'll gradually, the society, it's only according to through education that he needs to begin to participate in workshops, round tables, and then he'll begin to receive this in general feeling of what it means to be part of society and to think through society. So that his private calculations and that of the greater society will not clash. Because we've reached a state in which nobody can make a gain unless it's from the general plate. So in this case, I know that when I was a student, first of all, they taught me a law, and then they said, come see how this law operates. But here I see it's not the same. It's not like somebody teaches me a law and tells me maybe I need to reach balance and slowly discover this law. Well, yes and no. We need to take the opinion of many scientists who are talking about this, who will explain this to us through all different kinds of forms in nature. Because all in all, nature is always keeping its balance, like between the wolves and the rabbits, or each and everything. Balance is nature is always drawn towards balance in all its parts. You'll have less of those and you'll have more of those, and so on. It's always in balance. But man, when he enters these systems and each and every field, he breaks his balance. He does whatever he wants. He doesn't understand what he's causing himself in this general lack of balance, and then it returns to him, comes back to him. So we can take all kinds of scientists to talk about it and give examples of how it exists in all kinds of systems. We can bring the public opinion, sociologists, political scientists, those who treat society. And so the private person doesn't, the small person doesn't really see it in front of himself. But through these forms of advocacy and explanation, we can bring him to it. But it's better to bring him there through emotional experience. And this is why I'm saying that we need to bring him there through games, what we call them, workshops, all kinds of such activities through which he'll feel that this is the way it is and this is the way it works. And then we won't need to get to him through the mind, because that's very hard. This is what works for a person. He'll feel that this is better. And even if in our neighborhood or in our town, if we'll create such systems, we'll see that I gain in the cleaning services, that let's say that we take care of it ourselves, but we'll pay less to the city council. If we build a common building for all our kids to have after-school activities there and do this voluntarily, and then each person will give of himself whatever he can to this, then everybody gains. Everybody's level of life goes up, and our children receive good attention and treatment. These things that are close to him, you don't show him balance all over the world and all the reality. That's a philosophical approach. You need to use a very small private approach where you do something and immediately see a result. That's what we need. And everything is better if you do it emotionally. And then you don't need proof. I feel good. That's it. Okay, so then we have workshops that transfer an emotional feeling, and this is something I like a lot. I relate to. It's also something that I do on the day-to-day in my daily life. And impressions from games. What kind of games do I need to teach a person or a society that participates in such a process to teach them a principle? When I want to build a game, I'll ask this differently. When I'm going to build a game or plan a game, I plan it this way so that a certain message or principle will be transferred through the game to those who participate, for them to understand it through the game. So what messages or principles can we build for a person so that he'll be able to go through it, for him to understand or discover within himself what it means to be balanced? All through our development, we've reached a state in which, at first, each and every one of us manufactured for himself whatever he needed. I would catch some deer, skin it, take off the fur, and I would use that for clothing. I would eat the meat. I'd maybe grow something on my land and maybe build a house. I do everything myself. Afterwards, we reached the state of development where we said, what for? Let's divide this work between us. One person will bring the leather, another the meat, another the vegetables, and so on and so forth. We reached a stage in which we develop machines, and then each and everyone acquired skills and how to use these machines, and then we had people who became artists, who became professionals, and one person was a tailor and the other was a shoemaker. And so society began to work in an integral fashion. And through history, we understood that this is worthwhile, that it's all profitable. We receive better service. Because I can't make shoes and also clothing and also be an agriculture specialist and a farmer, or the more that we advanced and professions became more and more complex, and then I'm not able to be, instead of other people, like they're chemists and engineers and technologists with, and there's gas and water, and but all in all, we all want to enjoy all of these services together. And this is the correct and good development. As it's written, go and make a living off each other. This is the right approach. So we see that in nature of human society, we need to use this correctly so that each person will be special and each one will contribute to others. The only question is this contribution that each one brings to society equal? And we don't begin to use each and everyone. We don't use our speciality in a distorted way that through it I want to be above others or be in control of others, because there we already begin to have a problem. It's not a problem with money or with the speciality of each and everyone. It's not a problem with our ego. It's the problem of keeping our mutuality. So in our history, we've gone through all kinds of blows. We learned on ourselves, by ourselves, that actually, subconsciously, we always understood that mutuality is good and that balance is good. But it's our ego, our nature, that would always somehow push us to use others. And by that, we don't blame anyone. This is nature. It's our nature. And now that we've reached a state in which it's brought us to crisis, and we begin to see that we're not helping society, each of us in our own field, but each person relates to human society as to some opportunity to dominate, to use. And each one builds himself upon the destruction of the other. And it's not that he contributes and receives services from others. And so, here, the approach itself has become destructive, in which each one wants to pull to himself, not to work and trade and reciprocity like before. I give you shoes and you give me clothes and so on. And therefore, through education, we need to neutralize this approach. Otherwise, we're destroyed. And the example is what we see now. We've developed such big financial bubbles where everything's such a big lie and each one presents himself as great and rich when really he has nothing. He has only numbers. They are playing around with numbers. So we see that we reached a state where a person who contributes, where nobody really wants to contribute. Each one wants to use society. And that's where the crisis came from. And that is why it destroys. And that is what it destroys. So now, either we ourselves cut off this bubble and stay in this normal balance between us gradually in understanding and awareness, or we, just like now, that we don't know what to do because we're holding on to these bubbles so strongly and to this destructive approach to each other, until this illness will develop to such an extent that it will destroy us. What do I mean by destroying? That we won't be able to be in even the minimal mutual relations, that we won't even be able to supply our most basic needs. We won't have the regular relationships, but simply there will come a time that we won't be able to be in any kind of relationship, because this destructive relationships will cut off our connection to everyone. And it will come to such a breakdown, such a collapse in each system, in every bank, in every system of trade, of industry, in everything that connects us. So in order that we don't reach such a state, for us not to reach that, we have in all of our systems, in all of our businesses, in all our social systems, in the economy, in trade, in industry, all of them, we have to bring them slowly and gradually, and to take out these bubbles. The bubble is not that people lie to each other. The bubble is ideological, where each and every one wants to use the other at any price, and the worse off the other person is, the more successful one feels himself. That's the bubble. This is the exaggerated ego. If the ego pushes me to develop and contribute to society, this is the good ego, it's positive. But if it works on the opposite, how do I use society for myself, that's the bad ego. It all depends how we work and balance our attitude or approach to society in the middle line. It's as if you redefined what success is in our new life. Because you said that today we define success like this bubble, that each person uses the other, and the people who do this the best are considered successful. But when people are now reaching such a precipice that is unknown, where we can't run anything, where we are standing before things, we're as if we're small animals that are brought to their death. So in this way, I think we can begin to explain to them what is actually happening. Can I ask? You suggested before you emphasized that also in the government there needs to be a change in the matter of governance. You said that this building of this balance needs to happen on all levels. And from the top level, that the work of the government needs to be to help all of the different offices reach balance, greater balance. So I'd like to give you a certain challenge. I'm not lacking any challenges. So let's say they give you some credit and tell you, you know what, go ahead. Give a workshop to the 120 members of parliament that will help them taste, to a certain extent, this idea. It's not a workshop. You need to open a constant and regular study there. That it will be mandatory, not for 120 members of parliament, because there you have thousands and thousands of people who have all kinds of jobs there, and they all operate and act in order to help somebody get a higher chair or job and etc. And you see how each one of them says how he acts for the good of the people. So there needs to be a real educational system here that will bring them to the state where their heart and mouth will be equal, so that what they say that they do for the sake of the people and the nation will truly be for the sake of the nation and not for each person's own sake. And in the egoistic society, those who reach the highest levels are actually the most successful egoists. And we see that. It's clear in all their games and in all the trade that they have between them and for chairs and for funds. Well, that's clear, but come, don't turn away from this challenge. Let's say you were given an hour. Let's say, you know what, an hour a week. And like you said, there are thousands there, so let's narrow it a bit. You said 100, I said 120. So let's talk about the ministers in the government. Each one has their own office. We put them all, let's say, in one table, and we can put them through a workshop, maybe even a series of activities. How would you begin? How would you start the first activity? I would start by bringing them and putting around this table where we are sitting a million people to stand and wait for them to begin to receive the right decision, at least for these million people, for them to begin to feel fear from this, just like that Gaddafi who was murdered in the middle of the street, for them to feel it in such a real way on their skin, then maybe we'll be able to talk to them. I don't think that any less than that. I don't think that you can approach them in conditions that are any less than that. I simply understand the person who is in such a place and an office. So how can we say that changes will come from not only from the bottom up but also from the top down? It's possible that gradually, not like in an hour like you tell me now. No, not just an hour. I'm talking about an hour a week, even an hour a day. First of all, they need to understand that the situation is dangerous and is to such an extent that it's dangerous to their own personal lives because they don't feel the people. They don't care about anything that happens. All they care about their chair and their job and to be above others and nothing else. Nobody's blaming them. It's the natural egoistic development of each person. That's it. But clearly, a person who is in such a rank, he must behave this way. Anyone. So he needs to feel, as opposed to his evolved ego and his demand to use others and rise at any price. You see that one day they say this and one day they say that. Why? It's natural. Because in each and every way he decides what is for my own good. There are no principles. There is no basis upon which these people stand. Nothing. It's possible. That's it. I sell everything. That's clear. If so, then what can shake them up to hear that they need to change the approach from such an egoistic approach where the person has nothing else but personal gain and success? Nothing. To national success. Because national success might mean that, you know what, tomorrow you might need to be a street cleaner. And by that, you will do the greatest job for the sake of the people. And he will say wholeheartedly, that's so great, finally I understand where my place is, that is the most effective, the most useful. This is the place of my correction. So that really the cell that is in my heel will not think that it needs to be at the middle of my brain, but it will understand that it needs to go down from there, down to the heel, and from that the body will be healthy. You understand? What needs to happen? If he understands that otherwise he's in danger, as opposed to because of that, then under these conditions you'll be able to hear, to listen. Maybe you can maybe drip these understandings gradually, but it's difficult. I understand human nature. I put myself in his shoes. It's hard. It's almost impossible. It's all only on the condition that it will be a real personal danger. You see what's happening now in Syria? He's in danger. Why does he continue? He can take a few billions that he has there and to go out. But he's unable. I am the ruler. I am in control. But you're not even in control anymore. But he's unable. You see what happened with Gaddafi. And it's the same with each and every one. In Egypt with Mubarak, it was the same. They're not able to think differently. Even until the last moment that they're killed. Therefore, I'm saying that he must feel that there's an actual danger and that you give him a solution so that he'll be able to avoid this danger. It will be at the expense that he will maybe be a little distanced from his high thoughts about a higher chair and more control and so on. Because a person will give anything for his life. If there's no life, then I don't care. There are those who say no. Even if I have no life, maybe later people will know that there was such a prime minister, even if they kill me. A fakir for an hour. To avoid danger is a motivation that certainly exists. What is the danger? Is that in the next government? I won't sit there. This is a very personal danger. Right, so each time he goes and sells himself off, no matter which government it is. That's right, it's possible, but not for everyone. And still, I'd like to say something like this. Do we have a tool so that even if we aren't able to reach a state in which a million people are circling the building, not from this place of pressure, but a place of wisdom? I mean, what do I mean by wisdom? These people have an evolved ego, like you said. They understand that tomorrow they might not be in this respected place they are today. So we'll say to them, if the government grasps this idea of the middle line in the governance of the society, under their governance, yes, the balance between the different branches of the government, you tell them this. I have a recipe for success. It's called maximum balance. Let's sit together, all of the minister of the government with the prime minister together, and begin to search what is this balance. Now, if you are correct, and this is a useful thing and profitable thing that will bring to success, and then we'll get better results in society, then I'll have a mandate for tomorrow as well. And already I have motivation. So let's say from this rationale, I understand you and I give you credit to put them through a certain process, a guide to balance. And this guide has an hour to give them a workshop. What is the first activity? Part of it needs to be explanatory. What is balance? What does it mean? What is the illness, as we spoke of before in the last talk and now? And part of it is a workshop. What's in the workshop? In the workshop? Well, what is the illness? What is cancer? What is balance? What are its signs? What do people on the street want? What do they demand as in comparison to what we can give them? How can we succeed through adding budgets? What are we going to print more money? How can we succeed without endangering the public financial resources, create balance for the public according to what it's demanding for social justice and just division of the goods? How can we do this? We can do this by developing social connections in the people and the nation so that people will help each other themselves in a way that each person will participate heartfully, wholeheartedly. And these systems and mechanisms of mutual help, voluntary help, And in this way, without investing any money, we will reach a certain equality. And what do we need from the country? To bring some support from the media, from the local authorities, for them to help in some way. Without even going over our present budget. We only need to help to put these things in universities and workplaces, to make it mandatory, to put a law. What kind of law? It will be a mandatory educational, integral education law. And that's it. So much so that nobody will receive a penny from the state, not an old person, not a young person, in anything. Including the health system, including everything. Nobody will receive any services from anything, not even for health. You won't have health insurance. You won't even have car insurance. You will have nothing that works in the state unless you participate in the study of integral education. In this system of integral education, this is something the government can do. Do you have a sentence to summarize the end of our show? I think we will send you to these 120 members of parliament that will be more successful. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you, our viewers, for being with us. We'll continue in the next talks. Come, it will be interesting. Until then, all the best, and we should be balanced.